Hi, my name is Dr. Patricia Murugami. Welcome to your next best self. I know you might be wondering, who's this Dr. Patricia Murugami? Well, I'm a leadership catalyst, a leadership coach, an educator on matters to do with life, leadership, love, and legacy. And I hope that as you start to listen in and practice some of the leadership insights we'll be sharing here, you'll begin to see your next best self. Welcome back to your next best self podcast with me, Dr. Patricia Murugami. As I promised you, I'm going to be sharing three reflections as I approach my birthday. And I do agree that it may not be halftime exactly, because I have friends who are living their best life after 60. So here's to living a long, meaningful life and to having a lot of life within our days. Today, my second reflection is on choosing to commit to being joyful. Last year and half of this year so far has shown us how tough things can get, how worried we can be, how anxious, how life-threatening viruses can come and, you know, take away our loved ones and penetrate our lives with such fear that we almost couldn't live our lives fully. But amidst all that, when I look back and I think about my mentors and good friends who have walked the journey with me, I have found the ones I continuously get gravitated towards are generally joyful souls. And I don't say happy, I say joyful, because the ability to be joyful is not determined by your current circumstances. You know, I have visited amazing mansions which have priceless furnishings and, I mean, palatial homes, but they are cold. They're not joyful. There's an absence of joy in those spaces. Even in some hotel spaces, you can feel the sense of joy as you walk into the lobby. I've also been to some very humbling spaces where you would be sad. But the people who live in those spaces, that one-roomed house, are so joyful. So joy is not about your current circumstances. Repeat after me. Committing to be joyful is not about what's going on the outside. It's about what's going on the inside. And I want to tell you that being joyful is an inside job. Just like leadership is an inside job, being joyful is an inside job. And when we choose, because it's really a choice, why is it that the same situation, the same crisis can happen to two people? One person looks at it, picks the lessons, walks away, almost whistling into the future. And the other one is stuck in the mud, unable to get up from that situation. You may argue, oh, one is a melancholic, the other one is a sanguine. You may argue, oh, one has better education than the other one. Oh, one has more money than the other. You could argue on so many levels and debate it endlessly. But I dare say it comes down to a personal choice. A personal choice. A personal choice to make the most of whatever the world and life has handed you. A personal choice to make delicious lemonade out of the most bitter lemons that life can hand you. A personal choice to take failure and things that haven't worked as a school of life and lessons that you can only learn through that failure. So commit to be joyful. Commit to be joyful. How can you do this practically? A couple of ideas. First, be unapologetic about your self-care. Be unapologetic about your self-care. Take good care of your rest. Get to sleep on time and see whether you can clean up your sleep routine. You see, sleep hygiene is now a very big agenda. We have imagined sleep experts all over the world. Basic things that you could put your head down and sleep is not as basic as it appears to be. Because we are so bombarded with so many demands to our time, our energy, our mind, our hearts, our souls, that the ability to be still and to surrender in a sense and to allow yourself to lie down and rest is not as easy as it may have been in the past. Be unapologetic about your self-care, especially your work and rest times. Your work and rest times. A second thing is raise your level of self-care to not only the basic kind where you're exercising, eating right, sleeping, reading, taking care of your spiritual sense, taking care of your financial, if you refer to my five-finger self-care, which I talk about in my book Rise, and is also on my YouTube channel, Breakthrough with Patricia Morugami. But I want us to go to the next level where you look at joy-bringing self-care. Mm-hmm. Joy bringing self-care. Some of you grew up at my age and there was a show called Joy Bringers. Eh? I think the question I want to ask in this podcast is, when is the last time you did something that genuinely brings joy to you and as a result to others? And here I want to speak to women and to men, to mothers and to fathers, to caregivers, to people who are in professions such as mine, which is a caregiver and a leadership role, because you're constantly helping others grow, taking care of them. And so you could be doing that in your professional space, nurses, doctors, therapists, counselors, teachers. There are a lot of caregivers. As I was thinking about today's podcast, I was reminded of a time where I struggled with caregiver burnout. It is not a joke. Caregiver burnout happens to people who are taking care of others to the point that they forget to take care of themselves. It happens to people who have a high sense of responsibility and who feel they always want to put other people first. It happens to people who have a high sense of altruistic motives because they are constantly thinking of, how can I lift others? And you see, while that is all so incredible, the challenge is they may forget to eat, to take care of themselves on a very fundamental level, but more importantly, they carry this weight and these stressors with them as if they're theirs. And so, having experienced that, I want to share with you a tip on how to, one, avoid getting there, but more importantly, consider how to keep yourself going, even when things are tough and your caregiver responsibilities are higher than they've been in the past. Find joy-bringing activities. You remember that point in your CV called hobbies? Go back to your CV and ask yourself, what are these things I wrote? Do I even do them? What are hobbies? Activities that lift your spirit, that infuse joy into your life. Whether it's taking a walk, as I chose to do just before I recorded this podcast, the sun came out and it's been a cold day, and I said, I'm just going to take a walk calmly and allow the sun's rays to hit my skin. And as I did that, I remembered my friends in Canada and Iceland and countries where the sun is so rare. And I chose to be so thankful, and as a result, became even more joyful about those moments as I was walking, reflecting on what I would want to share with you today. Joy bringing self-care. Choose every day to do something small that brings joy to you. You will find your propensity to cope with stress is so much higher. You will find that the boundaries on how to ensure you keep your sanity and your joyfulness up will actually rise. And more importantly, you will find that your perspective towards life will be very different. You'll be a giver, but you'll also allow yourself to be a receiver. When people want to help you, you'll be open to doing so. So today, I want to give a shout out to a friend of mine called Carol, who, when I told her how I was feeling, she organized to send me a care gift. And it was one of those care gifts I have never received in my entire life. And that care gift was so thoughtful. It was the kind of care gift that you can eat over a period of time with your family. You can nibble on this, and the layout was amazing. And even as I think about it, and as I want to honor Carol for being so thoughtful, not only did she listen to me, she encouraged me And then the following day, I had a bell at our gate, and in came this amazing package from, no pun intended, actually, pun intended, Amazing Grace, yeah, run by Anne Wanyoike, who's a director and runs this incredible product. But were it not for me being vulnerable and saying I'm struggling, Carol would not have had a chance to pour into my joy jar. And so commit to be joyful. Commit to be joyful. And when you feel that your joy is waning, commit to ask for the help you need, to share that with someone, to allow someone else to fill your cup. Just yesterday, I was struggling with a bit of a school flu. You know, school flus are those flus you get from your children and they go back to school. And so I got home and our daughter said, you know, Mom, today we're going to do for you a home spa because you really sound like you need it. That's a way of people knowing how to increase your joy. But you have to allow them and you have to help them understand what it is that brings joy to you. But before you even give that responsibility to someone else, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to consider committing to be joyful. Choose to ring fence unapologetically your self-care. Secondly, choose to raise your joy-bringing habits and hobbies. And the last thing, spread joyfulness to someone else. You see, joy is like a perfume that you can't spray onto others without a little bit of it getting onto you. So those are three ways in which you can commit to be a joy bringer in your life today and into the future. For the ladies, the most beautiful women in the world are the ones who smile joyfully inside out. All of us want to be beautiful. It's not about our sizes, the color of our skin, the absence of acne, the absence of wrinkles. Mm-mm. It's none of that. It's the ability to be warm, to bring out that joy from within. But remember, the first step is the one I talked about in the previous podcast around forgiveness. You will find the more we forgive, the more joy bubbles out of us. And so, if that is not enough motivation, as we age gracefully, the more beautiful ones of us are the ones who smile joyfully, allow themselves to laugh, laugh even at themselves and allow themselves to see the beauty of the world despite and in spite of how dismal things can get. I wish you the very best in committing to be joyful and becoming your next best self. Thank you.